Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Just to thank you, Father, for all that you do, all that you have done, all that you will do, Father. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our loving Father. You are the God who healeth all our diseases. You are the God who is our protection and our shield. And so, Father, you are the Jehovah Jireh, the great God who giveth us all that we have need of. And so, Father, we just come to you this morning. We have one special request, Father, and that is to help each and every one of us to be resurrection ready, to be so aware of the hour in which we live, so aware of your presence and your moving within us. But Father, when we turn from the shout and move into the voice of the resurrection, that we'll be very aware, Father, of this to take place. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we'll continue in the unveiling of God. This will be number 169 in the series. And I'd like to subtitle this, At That Day You Will Know. In other words, At That Day You Will Be Aware. Now back to what Brother Bram was telling us in paragraph 172. He says, But now as Revelation 10 has promised, all the mysteries of God that's been hid in the pages down through them years will be ripened, brought forth in the age of the seventh angel's message. Is that right? What did he say a year and 6 months ago, about 2 years ago? Go out to Tucson. Be north of Tucson, a great blast. What would take place? The seals would be opened. The seals that reveal these things come back just as he said. And what is it? It shows it cannot be man. It hits perfectly, just as straight as it can be each time. What is it? It's the hand of God. See, before us, or in other words, in our presence. And because it's in a little group, veiled in human flesh, it's veiled to the outside world. He said from the outside world, he's revealing himself to babes such as will learn. See, that's right. Now, it's interesting, but Brother Bram is just laying some things out here. He says, notice, because it's hid in a veil of flesh, because it's hid in a little group. You see, this ministry, although Brother Bram's ministry, although it went around the world seven times, although it's in all nations today, just as our messagedoctrine.com is in under 90 nations, yet hardly anybody in the world knows about it. It's only to the elect. It's only to believers. He says, see, every parable in the Bible, every type of the Bible is made manifest right here before us. And Brother Brown also told us in Shalom, he said, now the same word that was reflected in Moses could not be reflected in Elijah, because that was another day. Same one that was reflected in Noah could not be in Moses. See, Noah built an ark. Moses led a people, just exactly what was promised. That same light was reflected in one, wasn't in the other, but one told of the other. Now there's a difference there. In other words, Moses didn't come preaching Noah's message. All right? Jesus didn't come preaching Moses' message, but Moses' message foretold of Jesus' message. Jesus' message foretold of this hour. And he goes on to say, and all the New Testament speaks of this hour. So when you're reading your Bibles and you're reading your New Testament, don't be thinking, well, this is 2,000 years ago. This is, you know, it pertains to you. All the parables are for you. All the things that Jesus did and said, it's for you. So that you can identify he is the same yesterday and today, that's today, and forever. He said, Jesus Christ speaks of this hour. Who is it then? Some man. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifesting, reflecting the light on the word that he promised for this day. When men see you living like him, when he sees your character, your conduct with the word, just exactly like he was, the word being manifested, then men will see Jesus Christ. They won't have to look around anywhere else and say, well, what does this creed teach or what does that creed teach? They'll know what God is when they see you. You see, this is where I think that many who come to the knowledge of the doctrine and they see that there's a God and he had a son and they want to argue and fuss over that and their focus is totally on the doctrine and they're missing the whole picture. It's not about what we know. It's about have we become the doctrine? Have we become Christ? Have we become anointed? Have we become sons of God? Have we become a manifestation of that God life? That's what it's all about. As Brother Bill told me, it's about 3 or 4 days before he died. He said, or maybe it's about 3 weeks. He says, Brother Brian, he says, we've got the doctrine. People understand the doctrine. But if they don't have the life, they're not going to make it. Because the life of that doctrine, if you know, you could have the doctrine up here. But if the life of the doctrine is not in here, if you don't see yourself in that doctrine, then you need to get born again. You really need to get born again. Therefore, every parable in the Bible, every type of the Bible, is made manifest right here before us. So he's talking about the written word being made manifest by his very presence. As I've shown you in the Faith series, number 39, that 79 of the signs and events that Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John all told would accompany the parousia of Christ have already taken place. Yet, how many people are aware that we are just about out of the shout, which is the first stage of God's presence, and we're ready to enter into a very short period of time called the resurrection? How many people are aware? See, that's why I made the comment last week. I said, Brother Brown, there's a quote someplace. I don't remember it exactly the words, but to the best of my understanding, it was the rapture would be so natural that it'll pass right through you if you're not even aware. And we're going to talk about that awareness today. Now, one of the brothers overseas, Brother Abbott, he found a quote similar to that, and I'm going to share that after I finish the sermon today, because he just sent it to me this morning, but I do have a quote from Brother Brown that speaks to that very same thing. So we're looking at 79 of the 84 events that Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John all spoke of concerning the parousia of Christ have already taken place. All that's left are the signs and events which have to do with the resurrection ministry and the catching away. That's it. Everything else has already taken place. And people are missing it. It's going right through them, right past them. Why? Because they're not aware. And therefore, he says, all that is written in this word concerning this hour is being made manifest right here before us, which means right in our very presence. And it is not of our doing, as though we've become the perfect church and we have a perfect ministry. No, that's not what he's saying here. He's telling us that the very God who wrote the word is here to confirm the word by bringing it to pass. God did all these things. But he revealed them unto his children. Now from his message, unrecognized presence, Brother Branham says, working for this one purpose. Now get this in your mind. One purpose for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if he is present, then why, everything is settled. He made the word. He's here to confirm it. So he's the one that promised it. He's now here bringing it to pass. If you're not aware of his parousia, you call it a false doctrine, whatever, you're not aware. The rapture is passing right through you and you're not even aware. Then he says in the same message, if we could realize he's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in him to us. But we've got to recognize his presence. And how do you recognize his presence? Is when the promised word for this age is made manifest. It's made manifest. But didn't he also say just a few paragraphs back in the unveiling of God? He said, they can read the same Bible you're reading, but they can't see the manifestation of it. Amen. So the question is, are you seeing the manifestation of it? Now, that's a mighty thing that he just said there, because the majority of people in the Christian world today may have read the Bible, or at least some of it, but they cannot see the manifestation of it. And since God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass, then how can you know the interpretation of his word unless you are aware of the manifestation of his word? Therefore, no matter how much you think that you can talk the doctrine, unless you see the manifestation of the doctrine, you have no real clue what it is. And I'm not talking about seeing something out there somewhere. I'm talking about you, yourself, becoming the revelation of the doctrine. Your life, your speech, your actions, your works are reflecting the doctrine of Christ. Then you know that that you know. Until then, it's just talk. From his sermon, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham says, sirs, we would say Jesus, then Lord Jesus, come into our midst. Now notice, not only come into our midst, but then he says, and get into our flesh. And get into my minister, brothers, and into me, and into you out there. And just come and let us surrender ourselves to you. And then, and once we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, then you perform and show and show that you're a living Christ. A spirit of God that lives among us, that performs and keeps your word and confirms what is promised. You see, it's not about what God did back in 1965 to 1933 to 65. Forget it. And not forget it, but you know, just lay that aside. In other words, moving on to perfection. All right? We have that ministry, that message. But that message wasn't just to put on a show, and in a historical sense, we can say, well, God, you know, did great, mighty things for William Branham. No, it's why. Why did God come and do those things to William Branham? What did he have to tell me? What words did he have to say? As Brother Vail brought out, in, I think it was like 1990 when he was up in Toronto preaching. And he said there's a Catholic priest that... He said, you know, when God does something miraculous, and it's interesting that Catholic priests would say this, but he says, when God comes down and does something miraculous, he said, what is that for? It's to get the people to shut up and listen. See, God uses the miraculous to get your attention. That's what the miracles was all about. It wasn't to put on a show. It was to get yourself, your attention to a message. And how many people say, well, I follow the message, but all they know about is William Branham. All they know about is, well, he healed people here, and he healed people there, and he did this, he did that. And forget it! What did he come for? What did he come for? What is the message that God wanted us to have? And he's saying it right here. Get into our flesh. Get into my minister brothers, into me, into you. And just come and let all of us surrender ourselves. And then in you perform and show that you're the living Christ, the Spirit of God that lives among us, that performs and keeps your word and confirms what you have promised. Now notice, keep your word and confirm what you have promised. And the word promise speaks of a written word. And the confirming of it is a manifestation of that written word. And that shows us that God interprets his word by what? Bringing it to pass, by manifesting it. Now back to unveiling of God 173, the same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, is right here and manifesting it, showing just exactly what it was, interpreting it right back. And to make it sure that it's the interpretation, we got the interpretation. To make sure that it's the interpretation, we've got the interpretation. In other words, to make sure that it's interpreted right, he manifested for us. It's so simple. You see? Then he says again to emphasize what he just said, to manifest. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See, it's got to be proven. Now watch closely what he says next. But now, not proven like Jesus, you know, they put a rag around his head and they hit him on the head and they said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. And if you're the Son of God, turn this bread. See, that's the devil. If you're the Son of God, come off that cross. I mean, the revelation. It's the revelation that he's supposed to do. That's what it is. Now, Brother Branham said a whole lot right there. And all of what he just said is about God manifesting his word to prove that that you have the right interpretation. Now, I want to boil all that down to just one thought this morning. Notice he says, he is not saying that God lets you work whatever work of God you wish to do. You know, people get the wrong understanding of John 14:12. They think, like latter day, well, we're going to go and do this. We're going to do this. You're not going to do nothing except for what God shows you to do. That's John 14:12. He said it's not merely, it's not like they wanted, you know, for him to prove that he was the Son of God by hitting him with the head and say, well, tell us who hit you. We want to see the sign of Messiah. He said it's not like that. So they blindfolded him and hit him on the head and said, tell us who hit you. No, that's not it at all. God doesn't clown around with the manifestation of his word. Now notice how perfectly Brother Branham lays this out. He says, I mean the revelation that he's supposed to do. The written word says he will do. And now, the manifestation is the revelation, the unfolding of what he promised to do. Not what you think that should be done, what he promised to do. What he promised to do. I mean the revelation that he's supposed to do. That's what it is. The revelation that he's supposed to do. Not anything you can read and then try to manifest. That's not it. Those are the guys of Matthew 7 who say, Lord, Lord, did not I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are the ones who try to manifest his word without being commanded what to manifest. Those are the guys who are running without a message. They're workers of iniquity. They are the ones, he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. No, they are not the example. And Brother Branham said, it's the revelation, the manifestation of what he said he was going to do. So it's all about what he promised to do, and he is here doing. Okay? And it's not about passive faith alone, either. No, that's not what he's telling us here. Brother Vail preached on passive faith for 10 weeks back in 81, 82, somewhere back in those days, and the people never did get it. And the reason they never did get it is because they saw faith as something that was mental, something that you do. But faith is a revelation, and if faith is a revelation, then it has nothing to do with you, but it has all to do with what God is doing and is just showing you. And if you never come to the place of an active faith, which is an active revelation or an active manifestation, then you never did have a passive faith to begin with. 10 weeks, you remember that, Brother Don? 10 weeks, Brother Vail preached on passive faith, and the people didn't get it. They didn't get it. And they actually got to the place where they're looking at active faith as being something nasty, something dirty, you know, like, oh, that's the cart before the horse, you know. If you don't have active faith, you didn't have passive faith. What you had was a mental conception. And the word conception means to conceive. It means you had a mental birth of some sort, but it wasn't from God. Because it was mental. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not your willing, but God who shows mercy. All right? Because the act of faith, the act of revelation, the act of manifestation of divine truth is not about you, but rather it's all about God. God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, if you are not aware of God working in you, both to will and to do, then all you have is a mental conception. All you have is a little religion. All you have is a little history that God sent a prophet. That's all you've got. If you are not aware of his presence in you, working in you to will and to do what? His good pleasure. Then you're just a church member. Now notice what Jesus tells us in John 14, 12. But just a few verses actually after he says, he says, if you truly believe me. Now remember, this same John who wrote this also wrote, no man can call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. And Brother Ram said, the person who believes in Jesus is the one who has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Jesus says, if you are a truly spirit-filled believer and believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also. Because it's the same spirit and thus the same nature in me that will be in you also. Now that was verse 12. And that was right after Philip had asked Jesus to show him the Father. And Jesus told him, Philip, you're not aware. You're not aware. You're missing it, Philip. When you see me, you see the Father because the Father dwells in me. I've been with you for how long now, Philip? 3 years? When you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Let's go back to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The way, remember, that's Derek, that means the life. I am the life. The truth. And the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. If you had known me, if you had gnosko me, if you had experientially known me, you should have known, you should have experientially, you should have gnosko, you should have experientially known my Father also. And from henceforth you know, you can know through him, you experientially know him, and have seen him. Now how is it that you can see an invisible God? Through the very actions, the very mannerisms, the very expression that God expressed himself, manifests himself through his Son. Fill faith on him. Show us the Father. Show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not gnoscoed me? Thou hast not experientially known me? What have you been doing for the past 3 years, Philip? You've seen the power of God. You've seen the sign of Messiah. You've seen all these things, God in action. And then you say, Show us the Father. I'll have to do that here, so. Well, anyway. All right. Wake up! Wake up! Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Philip, 3 years you've seen the power of God, the life of God, the manifested word, the spoken word, you've seen all of it. And those things have come to pass, and now you say, Show us the Father. Don't you see that when you see me, you see the Father? Is not that what he was saying? If you had gnoscoed me, if you had experientially known me, Philip, you would have also experienced the Father. Also. And from henceforth, you would experience him. And have seen him. So Philip says, Show us the Father, it will satisfy. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not gnoscoed me, Philip? He that hath seen me has discerned. The word seen is a word that means discerned through observation. Hath seen or discerned through observation the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, if you are spiritually discerning, if you are spiritually observing, which is called discernment, you would know that no man can do these things. So Jesus is telling Philip here that you can see the invisible Father when you see the Father doing the works that only the Father could do in this vessel. And then he adds, Believe me that I am in the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Believe me for the very observation's sake. You know, be aware. Be aware. We're living in an hour, brother and sister. You're going to miss the rapture if you're not aware. You should be talking to him every day, every minute of the day. Having that walk like Enoch had where nothing else mattered to you but God. So he's talking about the invisible indwelling Father in the Son. And by discerning what is taking place, you should be able to recognize that it is actually the Father who's speaking and who's performing the supernatural works. Therefore, when you see the supernatural manifestation, and you know that no man can do those things, then you should know by discernment that what you are seeing is God hiding behind a veil of flesh. God using a veil of flesh. And God is hiding behind that veil. But the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus is talking about is God and his God life that is manifesting itself in this vessel. And this is why those who do not understand John 14:12 take it out of context. They miss it because they don't see the Father-Son relationship at work, which is the invisible God life living and acting in a vessel of a Son. So after Jesus established in his dialogue to Philip that what he should be seeing in him is the actual manifestation of the Father working in him both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now remember, Paul mentions it, but Jesus was the first one to do it. He said, I can do nothing of myself but what the Father showed me to do. It's not me that's speaking, it's the Father. It's what the Father speaks to me, and he's the one that's doing the works. Then after Jesus lays out that relationship that he has with the Father, where the Father expresses himself through the Son, then Jesus lets us know that that same relationship is actually for all of us. And that's now where we come to John 14 and verse 12. You see, from 6 to 11, he's talking about that relationship, that beautiful relationship that he had with the Father, and that the Father was manifesting himself to mankind through his vessel. And now he says, but you know what? It's not just me. It's for all sons. It's for all believers. And verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm saying it to you, he that believes on me, whoever believes on me, he that is born again, just like I'm born again. Therefore, the works that I do are the Father's doing through me. Those same works shall the believer or Son of God shall do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. You see, the continuity of this conversation shows the Father. He says, wake up. Be aware. He's working through me, and you know what? He's going to work through you. If you're aware. Now remember, Jesus is still talking to Philip here, and Jesus is telling Philip how it is that you can see the Father working through him as a son. Then Jesus says, and that's not only for me, but it's also for all other sons who are born of the same Spirit. That's what Jesus is telling Philip in verse 12. And Brother Branham also makes that very clear concerning John 14, 12, that this relationship of the Father working through the Son is for every believer. Every son of God, any son of God that is filled with the Spirit of God, as we see in Questions and Answers, 1959, where Brother Branham actually answers a question concerning John 14, 12. The person says, Brother Branham, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? Well, that's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Well, sure. Let's take John, just a minute, St. John the 14th chapter. And I want you to look at this. Now, if you can catch it right quick, St. John 14, 12, I believe it is. Well, we'll get right back, we'll get right quick, and look what Jesus said. Now, look what Jesus said about this. So, Brother Branham said, now look, Jesus is going to tell us, right? All right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, and then Brother Branham says, that's whosoever it is. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. See? He'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Not I shall do, he shall do. Not I, but he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died, and notice, and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him, because his spirit won't dwell in you until you die to yourself. And he becomes a part of me. Remember, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now, that don't make him Christ, but it makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ because that would be Antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ, but he can do the works of Christ, any believer, all right? And then right after that, after Jesus tells us in verse 12, that any believer or any son of God who believes in the works that the Father is doing in Jesus, those other sons will also be able to do the same things, speak the same words, and live the same kind of life. In other words, the Father that is living in his Son, doing the works, is what allows you to see the Father in him and also in any son. And that is how God and Christ are one. Now, from his sermon, Christ is a mystery, God revealed. Brother Branham also says, Jesus says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? You say you believe, but where are the signs, okay? Uh-huh, see, right? The works that I do shall you do also, every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never fail. Now, where is it at? See? Oh, it just showed. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. It's a hybrid condition. It's a churchianity. Go to church. I believe the message. You know, Brother Ram lived from 1909 to 1965. And, you know, he lived 56 years. And he had 33 years of ministry. And I know all about the man. That's not what it's about. Why did he come? Why did the Holy Ghost come? When the angel came down, that light came down. He said, as John the Baptist before I am my first coming, so shall your what? Message. Not so shall you. Not so shall your ministry. So shall your message forerun the second coming of Christ. From a sermon, we would see Jesus. Brother Ram tells us why John 14, 12 is for every believer, and also for what purpose it has been given. But now, while he's here working with his church in the form of the Spirit, then if His Spirit is with us, He will act just exactly like He acted when He was here on earth. It'll make you act the same way, because it's not your Spirit anymore, it's His Spirit in you. Christ's Spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. See? We'll do the same works. We'll think the same thoughts. We'll live the same type of life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle read of all men. Christ in you, reflecting His light out of you. As God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and reflecting God from His own body. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. God was in Christ. And what Christ's attitude was God's attitude, because the two work together, the Spirit and flesh united together. Now just remember, this is a dialogue going on between Jesus and Philip, which began with a question from Philip, and Jesus went into a teaching mode here and began to show the brethren how God was expressing Himself through Himself as the Son. And from His sermon, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy. He says now, Brother Branham says now as many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, the Bible says so, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. Well, Philip here was very inquisitive. So Brother Branham's going back to John 14. He says, he was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. Says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. In other words, you see the Father expressing Himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that the Father was dwelling in Him. Not Him doing the works, He was the Son. Himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son, Son of God. And then in Him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing Himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, see? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Now you say, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? In other words, wake up, Philip. You've been with me how long, Philip? 3 years? You've seen the sign of Messiah. You've seen that life. You've seen people raised from the dead. You've seen all kinds of miracles, things that man can't do. And then you say, show us the Father. Wake up, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Alright, so after that Jesus says this concerning the same works of God in Him, will be in any born-again believer. He continues with the same thought in verse 13. So in verse 12, he says, the works that I'm doing, the works that show that the Father is with me, the works that express you, that when you see those works, you're seeing the Father. You know what? It's going to be in you too. It's verse 12. Then in 13, he says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. And the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified, doxazo, in the Son. Doxa, the opinion, value, and judgment in the Zoe, the life of the Son. Then he says, he's not talking about Himself. Are you not a son? Is not the doxa, the God life in you? Is not the opinion, value, and judgment in you? Listen, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And if you love me, you'll keep. That means to hold on and safeguard my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And this comforter will be even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth it not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. You see, so in John 14:6-11, Jesus is having this discussion with Philip, who is not aware, who's really kind of out of it. And Jesus said, I've been so long with you, and you haven't seen the Father working and speaking. But not only this, Philip, you're going to do it. And all those that believe what God is doing in me, they're going to do the same things. He said, because the doxa of God will be in the life. Remember we talked about the DNA of God about 2 years ago? Went into the DNA of God and showed how our DNA, actually, scientists have proven your DNA is a message. Not like a message, it is a message. It is also musical, it is also mathematical. Well, listen, you're written epistles. What does that mean? That means the Word of God is actually etched into your Zoe, into your life. Now listen. Okay, so now after telling Philip, when you see me, you see the Father, because the Father is dwelling in me. And it is He that's working in me to will and to do His good pleasure. Then He says, and the works that you see the Father doing in me, He'll also do in any believer who has the same Spirit as the Father of God. Then He tells us how it's going to happen. He's going to send a Comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. It's going to come into you, like it did to me at the River Jordan. But then in the very next verse He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now this is the promise that He's making to all other sons. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. And that word comfortless was translated from the Greek word orphanos. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. Therefore Jesus is saying, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Therefore I ask you the question, when is an orphan no longer an orphan? When he's adopted. So an orphan is no longer an orphan when he's adopted. So Jesus is telling us at the time of adoption, the season of adoption, is also when He plans to come again. It's all tied so perfectly together. And if you're not aware of this adoption season, you're just missing it altogether. You're just a church member. Now from His message, position in Christ, Brother Ram says, for you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Now, after you're adopted, all right, after you're adopted, you're placed, then you understand. After you're adopted, you're placed, and then you understand. After you receive the Holy Ghost, then you can understand. Because no man can understand the Spirit of God, the things of God, except the Spirit of God be in him. After the ceremony said, and you've been put into the body correctly, you're a son, sure a daughter, when you're born again, that's your birth, but now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, which means my God, all right? The Spirit, that's God's Spirit, itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, how does it do it? You say, well, glory to God, hallelujah, don't bother me, I'm a child of God, and then go out and do the things that you do. The Spirit of God will do the works of God. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See? Now let's read. Then we'll have to stop because our time's getting away. All right, the ninth verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will to adopt us, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, he purposed this himself before the foundation of the world. How many understand that? That's in the dispensation. That in the dispensation, oh my, he would come again. Let's just pass it. See, dispensation of the fullness of time. Do you believe in dispensations? Well, the Bible says so, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now, what is the fullness of time? There's a dispensation of the Mosaic law. There's a dispensation of the John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of the church organization. I think he's referring to the church ages. There's dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now is the dispensation of the adoption. What the world's waiting and groaning. And when the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is that fullness of time? When the dead rise, when sickness ceases, when the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. Now watch this. When in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, aren't you glad? How is he going to do it? Gather together all things into who? Congregation, says Christ. How do you get into Christ? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that body is whose body? Christ already judged. He took our judgment. Then what are we? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every time he looks at the body, there is sitting there, bloody, and I'm in there by how? The Holy Ghost. He passes over. Oh my. And when the fullness of the dispensation of time, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven. Did you see where we're at, church? This is the hour for the dispensation of the adoption. I don't understand why every preacher in this message is not preaching on adoption. Now, let's go back to John 14 and read from verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Notice, the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me. How is it that you can see him, but the world can't see him? Because it's not out here. It's in here. The kingdom of God is within you. Because I live, you shall live also. As Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. It is not me living, but it's Christ living in me. Notice he's letting us know that we shall see him, because what we will see is the very life that he lived by will come into us. And we then shall see and be aware that it is his life that is living itself out in us. And at that day. When?
The adoption time.
And at that day, what day? At the day when He comes to live in us. At the day when the Spirit of adoption is alive in us. So at that day, you shall know. You shall ginosko. You shall know because you shall experience that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You know, people say you don't need an experience. I'm sorry, but our whole life is an experience. Every day you wake up is an experience. People that don't have an experience are dead. Their experiences are done. So how will you know this? Through ginosko. Through experientially knowing that it's His life that's living in you. Then Jesus tells us how it is that we will know or ginosko that He's in us. He says, verse 21, and he that hath, or he that echoes my commandments and keepeth them, or keeps guard over them to prevent his word from escaping, he it is that loveth me. You see, when you keep guard over God's word, it's a proving to Him that you love Him. Children obey your parents. What are you doing? You're proving that you love your parents. In other words, you're not only echoing His word, but your life will be echoing His life. And you'll be living such a consecrated and dedicated life as to prevent His word and His life from escaping your vessel, from your vessel becoming a broken cistern where everything just drains out. That's your proof of your love to Him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself. The word manifest, myself, exhibit, disclose, declare, or make myself manifest to him. It's not happening to the world. It's only happening to the believer. Yeah. That is exactly 1 John 5:10-15. He that believeth on the Son, that is the same person Jesus speaks of in John 14:12. And notice this one that is filled with the same Spirit as the Son of God. He says, hath, which is the Greek word echo. So he echoes the witness in himself. How many times are you going to do something and something within you speaks and says, don't do that? And so by not doing that, you're echoing what was the witness was within. Or how many times have you been, you're just going down the road and something speaks to you and tells you to do something. Like, I think I mentioned the illustration last week. This is a true illustration. There was a young man who was, he was going to a Bible study and he wanted to know more and more about God. And so at the Bible study, they were talking about hearing from God. Ella, I want you to listen to this because, you know, you want God to speak to you. So listen to this story. And so he wanted to hear from God. And so the whole way home, he's just praying, Lord, I want to hear you. I want you to speak to me, Lord. I want to hear you. And all of a sudden, something within him said, go buy a gallon of milk. You wanted to hear from God, and something says to you, go buy a gallon of milk. He just thought, you know, I don't need milk. I've got some at home. And it came back stronger. Go buy a gallon of milk. Like I've told you about the time that I prayed for the man that was paralyzed. And the Holy Spirit told me to go back and pray for him again. And then I didn't move. And he said, go back and pray for him again. It's louder a second time. I didn't hear it. But here I did. It shook me. And the third time it came, it just shook me terribly. I got up and left and I went back and did what he told me to do. And so that voice came back and said, go buy a gallon of milk. Not hearing it here, hearing it here. Something was in him. Urging, I've got to go buy it. Told you. He just turned around and went into the gas station. Quick Mart, whatever. Bought a gallon of milk. Got back in the car and said, well, if that's not the Lord, I mean, I could probably use it, you know, at home. And so he's driving down the road and something with him said, turn on 7th Street. Turn on 7th Street. Just me. Goes past it and said, turn on 7th Street. Go back and turn on 7th Street. So turn around. Went to 7th Street. Take a right. Go down the street. So I went down, he was going down for quite a few ways, and that thing within him, that word, thought, whatever, the Holy Ghost, said, now pull over. Okay, pull over. He said across the street was a kind of an industrial area, but there was just one house right here. All the lights were out. Looked like people had probably gone to bed, whatever. Maybe not even home. And whatever it was that was urging him to buy the milk and turn down 7th Street, now told him, bring it up to that house. He thought, well, but Lord, you know, if this is you, Lord, there's nobody there, or the lights are out, I'll just do it. So he got out and walked up to the door. Knocked on the door, and a man's voice said, who is it? What do you want? He said, at that point, I want to run down the stairs. He said, but before I got turned around, he opened the door. I said, what do you want? He said, I hand him the milk. I said, I was told that you need this. Something spoke to me and said, you need this. The man grabbed it right away and runs out in the other room. He can see his wife. She runs across the hallway into the kitchen. And you can hear. And then the man comes back in tears. And he said, my wife and I were praying, not just maybe half hour ago. And he said, we had really gotten to a point where we're really tight this month. Didn't have the money for the milk for our baby. Didn't have a penny. He said, we asked God to send us an angel. And then his wife comes out, she goes, are you an angel? He said, no. Somebody, I believe it was God, told me to bring this milk here. And the guy felt sorry for them. He took his wallet out, emptied all the cash he had, and gave it to the man. And he left. Don't fear to entertain strangers unaware, because they could be angels unaware. I told you a story when I was going out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I was going through Sioux Falls on my way out to Rapid City. Years ago, I was like 26 years old. Stopped into a restaurant. I was hungry. There was only one within miles. It was just a little pull off the road. It's right there. I went in and asked him for a hamburger. Saw the farmer sitting around. They're all really discouraged. I heard the talk. They said, you know, if we don't get rain, we're going to lose everything. I ate my hamburger, finished. As I walked out the door, they all looked, and I turned around and said, don't worry, you'll have rain very soon. I went out, I don't know why I said that. I went out, got in my car, turned the key, and before I was out of that parking lot, here come the rain. You could find yourself an angel unaware. But you're aware. See, this is how the rapture will take place. It'll be so simple. People are going to miss it because they're not aware. But when you're walking like Enoch walked, nothing else matters to you but his voice. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given of his Son, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, and he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know, that you might be aware. Now that's a different know than gnosko. This is eido, and it means to be aware. That you might be aware that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know, and we are aware, Edo, that he hears us. And whatsoever we ask, we know, we are aware, Edo, that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hallelujah. So you're looking at the echo of his word and the echo of his life in you. That gives you an awareness of his presence and his life indwelling your mortal body. And we talked about this awareness last week, where Brother Branham mentioned as saying the rapture will be such a natural thing that if you are not aware of it, it will pass right through you and you won't even know it. Now, that is not an exact quote, but it was something on that order. Now, I know there are perhaps a half dozen times that the pillar of fire sat over a person in the audience, and Brother Branham told them to claim their healing, but because they did not respond, that pillar of fire moved over to someone else. And Brother Branham told them that they missed their healing. Why? Because they were not aware. Even though he told them, from testimony on the scene, he says, I see a woman just bowed her head right there. There's a light right over this little lady. Look this way back there, lady. Second one sitting in the back. You're suffering with stomach trouble, complications. Do you believe that God will make you well? Do you do it? And the lady, the little lady sitting second one in with her head down. If she'll believe with all her heart, she may have it. Do you believe it? You missed it. It's gone from you. Shame on you. It's over this little lady over here now. You believe me to be God's prophet or servant? The lady sitting back there, do you believe? Now look, thin-looking woman, sitting there by the man. So you believe with all your heart you're suffering with heart trouble? That's right. Let me tell you something about yourself. You've got heart trouble so bad till you have to keep oxygen in the house, whether if you have an attack or not. Now, is that true? You know that. You believe it with all your heart, you can have your healing. It's up to you. Now, when he was describing this woman being the second person in the back row and what her condition was, he's going to tell me the woman didn't know that she didn't have a condition. She was sitting there. She had that condition. But she was not aware of God's presence. Oh, this just might be a mental telepathy. You missed your healing, sister. From Micaiah the prophet, this lady sitting right here on the end of the row, colored lady, sitting right there with cancer. You think God will make you well, lady? Do you have a prayer card? You don't need one. You're healed. You're healed. You ought to answer right there, lady. You missed it. Here, kind of a heavy set lady sitting here looking at me right down there, wearing glasses, hair done back, has a female trouble setting the prayer, they're praying. You believe God will heal you, lady? Do you believe with all your heart? You got a prayer card. Well, you won't have to use it. Your faith made you whole. I'll turn my back. You've heard it this side. There's a lady sitting right back there that's got heart trouble and she's got arthritis right here. Mrs. Brady, stand up. I don't know the lady, but they're missing it. What's the matter with that unbelief in here tonight? Shame on you. Here, right down the row from the lady, about one, two, three, four ladies. A lady sitting there has weak spells. Which is, don't miss it, sister. Mrs. Rice, raise up and accept your healing. Amen. Do you believe it with all your heart? Why do people miss it? They're not aware. You see, there's nothing in here that's calling out. There's no deep. Where there's a deep to call, there's a deep to respond. Where there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. So you see, these people did not come expecting. And if you do not come expecting, you will walk away with nothing. Because you expected nothing. Don't you see that principle in action here? The same with the rapture, brothers and sisters. That is why you should be praying every day to make the resurrection ministry. I pray for you, all of you, every day to make the resurrection. My wife and I pray together every night. And I hope you're praying for yourself as well. And me. And my family too. My wife and I, we pray each evening. I pray first for my wife and then myself. And then I cover our lives in the precious blood of Christ. And then I pray for every one of you. Just like I pray for my own family. I begin with my daughters. Go on to the grandchildren. And then I go on to you members. Family members in the church. Then I go to the East Coast, West Coast, and I pray for the different believers that we know. Then I go around the world. I pray for every believer that I know in each of those countries and the ministries. And my main threat all the way through is, Lord, help them to be aware and help them be ready for your resurrection ministry, which is about to begin. Then after we're done praying for the local body, we begin going around the world and then around the world and pray for everyone that we can think of. You know, that is intercessory prayer, my brothers and sisters. And I hope we're all doing it. And I pray for each of you that you will prepare yourselves for the resurrection ministry of the voice. Because that is all we should be living for. And we don't want to miss it. We want to be so aware of His presence that when it comes time for that portion of His word to be fulfilled, we will be waiting for it. And we will be aware of it. From Broken Sisters, Brother Branham said, now, I've been kind of speaking to you on the message very straight. And some people might be under the impression that I think that Jesus is going to come in the morning or tonight. I do. Now, I don't say that He will come. And again, He may not come for the next week. And it might be next year. It might be 10 years. I don't know when He's coming. But there's one thing I want to always that you bear in mind. That you be ready every minute or hour. See? Then if He doesn't come today, He might be here tomorrow. So just keep that in your mind that He's coming. And I don't know what time is going to be my last hour on earth. Neither does any one of us. And there's something of us, and there's none of us know when He's coming. He doesn't even know Himself by His own word. He said the Father only knows when He will come. Not even the Son knows when He will come. It's when God sends Him to us again. But we're looking for His coming. And if He doesn't come in my generation, He might come in the next. And if He doesn't come in that one, He'll come in the next. But for myself, I can't see hardly any time left. And to me, it could happen any minute. But now, that doesn't mean now that you see the heavens change and everything. That's not the coming I'm speaking about. I'm talking of the rapture. Now, we know he come to bring three works of grace, justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Everything in God is completed in threes. And so He come first to redeem His bride. He comes second as a rapture to take away His bride. He comes third with His bride, His king and queen. That's when many people are expecting that coming. But when He comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when He comes. They'll just be in the absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be caught away in a moment. They'll just come up missing, change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. Just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. No one can find them. Would it be too bad to know it's just done past and you missed it? So just keep before God. So what will then give you that awareness of His presence in life? Because you see it echoing out through you. And you're aware that His word and His life are echoing out through you. And that takes us to John 14:22. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto others? Now that's a very good question, because in verse 21... He tells us that He will personally come and manifest Himself to us. So how is it that He will manifest Himself to you and no one else will know? Only you and Him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode, our residence with Him. So you see, as I mentioned before, if you have a passive faith only, you have just a mental faith, but that passive faith, that passive revelation, that passive manifestation of divine truth must be through a personal experiential knowing, a gnosko, experientially knowing. Because you personally experience His making His abode or residence with you, and you are aware of His presence, I hope and trust you are all aware this morning. And as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. I'm alive. Yet it's not me, Paul, the man that is living, but Christ that is alive and living in me. And the life that I am now living in this flesh, this vessel, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation, by the manifestation of the Son of God's life living itself out in me, who gave Himself for me for this very purpose, to live in me. Now let's continue John 14:24. He that loveth Me not, keepeth not My sayings, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, there is your 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul teaches us that the evidence that you're born again and Spirit-filled is that you understand the things of God, because he says no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Paul also tells us in verse 12, now we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God's very purpose of giving you his Spirit is that you might understand the things of God and become aware of his manifesting his life in and through you. And if you are in that condition, you are ready to receive the rapture when it comes. Because he comes to them who are looking for him. From Jesus Christ the same, he said, now listen close now, so you will not miss it. Now those, he only comes to those who are looking for him. Now let me repeat that in the audience tonight. If you're here as a critic, if you're here as an unbeliever, he will never touch you, only rebuke you. But he comes to those who are looking for him, who are believers. Nowhere in the scripture did he ever come any other way but to the believers. That's where he promised to assemble, to do his healing. He took a blind man away from the unbelievers, outside of the city, to heal his eyes. He only comes to believers. So the Gentiles in that day was not looking for no Messiah, but Samaritans and Jews were. And when he came to the Jews, he displayed a sign of Messiah, and the true believer recognized it to be the Messiah. The unbeliever rejected it and was cursed by it. Again, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, paragraph 46. But now he comes to those who are looking for him. He did it in that day. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will do it again today. He comes to those who are looking for him, those who are longing, like those Greeks who would see Jesus. I want to leave this thought with you as we depart from Broken Cisterns. He said, I don't know when he's coming, but there's one thing that I want always you to bear in mind. You be ready every minute or hour. See? Then if he doesn't come today, he might be here tomorrow. So just keep that in mind, that he's coming. And then in paragraph 7, he said, he comes first to redeem his bride. He comes second as a rapture to take away his bride. He comes third with his bride, king and queen. That's when many people are expecting him, that coming. But when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll be just an absence of people. They won't know nothing what happened to them. They'll just be caught away in a moment. They'll just come up missing, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to be miss a loved one. No one can find them. Wouldn't it be too bad to know it's done past and you missed it? So just keep before God. Let me read that again. When he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll be just an absence of people. So just be ready all the time, for he could come at just about any time. 79 of the 84 signs and events have already taken place. And how many people are even aware of that? So all I can give you for advice is just be ready for the last 5 signs and events to come at any moment. And before we pray, I'm just going to grab my phone and read you the email that I got from brothers. A beautiful quote. God in simplicity. Jesus said he's already come and you didn't know it. But he done just what the scripture said that he would do. He restored them. You all that received me and believed on me. He done exactly what the scripture said he'd do. And they did to him what the scripture said that they would do. He's already come and you didn't know it. Are you ready? I want to shock you a little bit. The rapture will be in such a way, it'll be so simple, no doubt, it'll be likewise, till the rapture will come one of these days and nobody will know nothing about it. Now, don't get up now, but study just a minute. I'm sure enough, in closing, the rapture will come in such a way, a simple way, till the judgment will fall and they'll see the Son of Man, they'll say, wasn't we supposed to have such and such? And wasn't there supposed to be an Elijah sent to us? And wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? And Jesus said, it's already happened and you didn't know it. God hiding in simplicity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we not only thank you for the spoken word, but we thank you for the manifestation of your written word to us in this hour. And for the manifestation of your living in us. and working in us to will and to do. May we be so aware, Father, that we only act and think and speak and do what you would have us to do. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And my prayer, Father, is that all within my voice this morning would be ready for that resurrection ministry. That they would be laying up everything they've got, throwing away all ambition to get themselves ready for that soon voice, the soon move from the shout into the voice. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded.
I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is.